Hello, and welcome to another edition of Interviewing the Legends, brought to you by the Publicity Works Agency, devoted to promoting musicians and authors worldwide. Call us today at 941-877-1552 to start your free publicity evaluation. Remember, we shine only when we make you shine. Please welcome the host of Interviewing the Legends, music journalist, author, and entrepreneur, Ray Shasho.
Hello, once again, everyone. I'm your host, Ray Shasho, and welcome to another edition of Interviewing the Legends on BBS Radio, brought to you by the Publicity Works Agency. Call us today at 941-877-1552 or email us at publicityworksagency.com. And remember, we shine only when we make you shine. Nectar, the legendary rock band, are recording a new album. This is the first new studio album made in the United States since 1977. We put the old band together to celebrate the 50th anniversary of Nectar. Original members Derek Mo Moore, Ron Howden, and Mick Brockett are back. We've added Rich Chalanda from Fire Ballet and the 78 Band, Randy Dembo from the 2000 Band, and the newcomer and world-class keyboard player Kendall Scott. The music for our new album, The Other Side, comes from the 1978 era when we were writing in Moe's basement. And the music was put on pause for the last 40 years. And it's now time to release it with new input and fresh ideas. The music is growing as we continue rehearsing and writing and letting it take us to new heights. Nectar has started a Kickstarter campaign to fund the recording of the new album. Nectar's contribution over the last 49 years has quite rightly earned them their place in any progressive rock hall of fame. But the band is more and more than just a prog legend. The Nectar brand of innovative composition, performance, and visuals is simply unique. Nectar's history appeared to have been written when they finally split in the early 80s. Despite attempts to rekindle the flame, the Nectar light, it seemed, was out. Until that is the year 2000. The new millennium saw the long-awaited reunion tour of the classic lineup to rave reviews and fantastic receptions. The light we thought was out had in fact been kept aglow by loyal fans across the globe. 16 years on and the family has grown a little, but the classic Nectar spirit is still very much alive, building on the band's rediscovered popularity. The Nectar family is determined to continue bringing Nectar music to you around the world. Please welcome bassist, keyboardist, singer, songwriter Derek Mo Moore of prog rock legends Nectar to Interviewing the Legends. Hello, Derek.
Hey, how you doing?
As you mentioned before we got started here, you were in the studio for about 10 hours working on the new album.
Yeah, it's going really well. We're just about done recording all the tracks. And it's very different today than it was in 1977. But we have 66 minutes of music, so that's a double album.
Right.
And it sounds great. I love it.
Now, are you guys all together in the studio? There's no MP3s flying on emails or anything like that, right?
No. We're doing it all together. All the basic tracks were live.
Right.
I don't go for this. Everybody record separate.
Yeah, that happens a lot nowadays.
That happens a lot, I know, but it doesn't happen with us. We've always done everything live.
Yeah. Well, you guys are a great live band, always have been, and of course back in the day you had the light show.
But we have the light show again. It's back with us.
Oh, great.
Mick Brockett is back with us, so we'll have the light show.
Now, how far are you to completing? I read here somewhere that the release is going to be in January 2020. Is that still on?
That's still on. The end of January is the best time, we're told, the best time to release. We're probably going to release a single, 8-minute single.
of course.
We're going to release a single, I think, for Frogstar. We're going to do a special, first 200 people. It's going to be a 10-inch, I think, vinyl.
Oh, great.
And the song is going to be, we think it's going to be Skywriter. Skywriter is the story of a man who loses his significant other.
Right.
And he is up in the sky writing letters in the sky, hoping that it's being seen from the other side, and he doesn't know that she's really watching him. You know, it's the whole album is called The Other Side, and it's all about that type of thing.
Wow. Now, who wrote most of the music?
Me and Rich. The words, me and Mick and Rich.
Right.
But we're doing it as a group effort. Right. Everything's going to go through the group. We always did that with the old band.
Right.
Everybody puts a lot into it, and we think that that's the right thing to do, so that's what we're going to do.
Well, besides the original guys, you got some incredible players. You know, I mentioned Kendall.
Oh, we did.
Yeah, man. Yeah. Kendall Scott.
Incredible.
And Rich, man, he's incredible. I saw some of his music. He's got a lot of talent. He does a lot of stuff on his own, too.
Yeah, he was 3 years with Renaissance. He was with Fire Ballet in the early days. He joined us when he was 21 years old.
Right.
Back in the day. And we wrote all this music in my basement. So now we've added a lot of stuff to bring it up today, but it sounds really good. I'm really thrilled. And we've been adding some songs as we go. We're up to, I think, 66 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
So it'll be a double album. And the CD, of course, will have, it'll all be on one CD, I think. And then we're going to do a DVD, the making of. We've been recording by film, but the process from the beginning all the way through to now is on tape, on video.
Oh wow!
So we're gonna edit it down so you can see how the band progressed.
Mm-hmm.
So we've got the first tape with me, Rich, and Ron.
Right.
Going all the way to the full band that we have now. That sounds awesome live. I'm so thrilled.
Yeah, you guys are incredible live. I mean, there was a show when you guys all got back together, the full original band. I want to say, was that in...
That was at Neofest.
Was that in New Jersey? Or
yes.
Okay.
It was in New Jersey, Neofest.
Oh, that was incredible.
Are you talking about the one in New York?
Let's see. This one was okay. It was called Nearfest, right? 2002.
Right.
Yeah. And well, go ahead.
Nearfest was supposed to be a 2-hour concert.
Right.
And we learned all the time. We sent the CD to everybody because Roy was living in England and we were all living over here.
Yeah.
And we sent the CD to play to so we'd know what we're doing for the show. And we never really put it all together. About a week before the concert, Roy came over and went in the studio for a week. And we played the songs, you know, one at a time. We play a song, sit down, have a drink, see if you have a coffee or whatever, you know. And when we came to do the concert, it was 3 hours long. We thought it was 2 hours long.
Oh, it's phenomenal. I mean, the crowd was really into it. I think you opened up singing A Tab in the Ocean, is that right?
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah, I didn't read you. You got a great voice, man.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, we're going to, I think we're going to open up this time with Recycle.
Okay.
Tab in the Ocean has been the opener for about 10 years now.
Right.
So we think we're going to open up with Recycle.
You know what? What else?
Wait.
What else was cool about that show is you had Larry Fast. I was a big fan of Synergy and all his.
Yeah, me too.
Oh my God!
I met Larry in 1973 at Gem Studios.
Uh-huh.
And we got on from day one, and we've been friends ever since. We shared a house in Chatham together. In fact, the house whose basement we did all the music in.
Right.
Was belonged to me and Larry. We rented that house. It was great. It was a great place, nice cellar, nice sound in the cellar.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
A lot of music was written there.
Yeah. You've got, now what about a tour? You guys going to go on tour to support the album?
Yes, we are.
Okay.
We're going to start touring, I think, in January.
Okay.
Now, I know you know, because you mentioned, that we have a Kickstarter program.
Right.
And I would encourage everybody to help us, because we start from scratch. We need projectors, and we need screen, and we need a script, and we need all kinds of things to make the show what we want it to be.
Right.
And that's why we did the Kickstarter program, so we can put that all together. Right now, we've funded the first part, recorded. We've got to come back again and do all the mixing, so that'll be part of the Kickstarter. We're just trying to get it off the ground. I mean, basically, as I said, we start from scratch to get this thing together. But the music is definitely really, really, really good. So I'm very pleased with it.
Yeah, you probably couldn't even if you had the old equipment, you know, the lighting and all that, you probably couldn't even use it today. I mean, so outdated.
No, we can't. The light show needs an upgrade.
Yeah.
He's got all his old stuff.
Right.
But we need an upgrade. We need some projectors, and we need a screen, and we need scrims for the stage so that the light doesn't reflect.
Right.
Because you got to have your lighting and your light show on at the same time, so you have special spots and special colors so that the light doesn't spread everywhere, you know?
Right. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, when you take pictures, you know, I have to take pictures too when I cover shows, and it's very difficult. The lighting is very difficult to capture.
Yeah, you can't use a flash. That's
no,
the problem.
That's it. Exactly right. Well, I know one date you're going to do is Progstock in October, right?
In October. We're playing October 13th.
Right.
4:32, 6 o'clock, I think.
Yeah, you're going to be playing Sunday.
Sunday, yeah.
Yeah, and that's the best day. That's the day I would go, because it's, I mean, you got your band, you got, is it Sega, and Joe Denizon, who was on the show. He's a good guy from Stratospherious. Yeah. And, that'll be a great show. Also, Robert Berry, I had him on the show. We talked about him and his project, you know, with Keith Emerson, and another good guy.
It's going to be a good show. It's going to be the debut. We're going to do probably 60 minutes or 50 minutes of the original band, mm-hmm. the classic Nectar stuff. And we're going to do probably around 30 to 40 minutes of the new stuff.
Right.
What we're doing for the album, you know. So that. Nobody's really heard that before, so it'll be very interesting.
Yeah, it's pretty exciting. I'm a big prog rock fan. I've always had been for years and years and years. And, you know, when we used to buy albums, you know, we either heard it on maybe an underground rock station, or we look at the album cover or the name, you know, and then that's how we would probably buy an album. And go ahead.
Sorry. Are you coming to Progstock?
I don't know yet. I'm not sure.
If you come, let me know, and I'll give you an extra pass.
Okay, great. Yeah, that'll be awesome. But yeah, not 9 out of 10 times when I picked an album, it was a prog rock album, because, you know, you guys had the best album covers. Who did your artwork?
You mean on this album?
No, on the...
Helmut Benske. Helmut Benske did the artwork on all the classic albums.
They're incredible. Yeah.
And he's close to 80 now.
Right.
And I talked to him a few months ago and asked him if he got something for a new cover. And I told him what we're doing. And he sent me artwork for the new cover.
Oh, great.
So he's not been
I saw the back album, right? The picture of the back of the album.
Yeah, the back of the album. I've not shown anybody the front of the album. it's just outrageous.
You've always had great covers. My favorite albums from Nectar were always, Remember the Future. I love Down to Earth and A Tab in the Ocean, because I don't know, maybe it's because I was in high school at that time, you know?
Yeah, probably, yeah.
And I used to listen to them over and over again. Remember the Future was awesome. Yeah, you had part one and part two. And, you just a great band, man. You know, an awesome band. I'm so glad you guys are back.
Yeah, I'm glad we're back. I mean, I've been working for the last 40 years.
Yep.
In construction and plumbing and heating, and I just sold my company in April.
Oh, did you?
And I got back into it because it's going to be our 50th anniversary, you know.
Right.
Ron's not been that well, and he had cancer, and he's beat it.
Right.
And he asked me if I would help him put it back together, so I did.
Well, I'm sorry to hear that about Ron. Yeah.
No, he told the doctor, I can't die, I've got some gigs to play.
That's right. Yeah, I'm also so sorry about Roy, man. He was incredible.
Yeah, that's sad. That's really sad. One thing I will tell you is I feel his presence in the studio.
Yeah, yeah.
We're doing a song called Devil's Door that we wrote back in 1974.
Right.
And it's never been released. And we finished the song because it was never finished. It never had any real lyrics. And we finished the song, and when I came to play in the demo, I realized that the beginning was all Roy on his guitar.
Really?
I said, okay, why don't we just put that right on the album?
Yeah, exactly.
So that's what we did. We put him on the album with us.
Hmm.
I got hold of his wife, and I asked her, I said, you know, I don't really need your permission, but I'd like to have you blessed.
Right.
She wrote right back, oh, yeah, let's do it, you know.
Yeah. Huh.
She's lovely. His wife's really lovely.
Yeah. Yeah, he went too soon, man. Just like a lot of guys today, you know. It's sad.
Yeah, we've lost a lot of people.
A lot of people. I just can't believe it, you know. It's almost like God is saying, I want you, and I'm going to put together this humongous band, and I, you know, these are my God's heroes, rock heroes, you know.
I plan on living to 100, so...
I don't know if I want to go to live through 100. I take care of my dad. He's 94. My mom passed away at 94, so chances are I'm going to be up there. But I'm not sure if
I'm the same way. My granddad was 98. My uncle was 96.
You too. Yeah.
So hopefully I've got their genes.
You got their genes? Yeah. As long as you don't smoke, you know, smoke a lot or, you know.
I quit smoking. In 1975.
Good for you. Yeah.
I was smoking 3 packs a day.
Oh, wow.
I stopped cold turkey.
Yeah. Good for you. That's a tough habit to kick. It really is.
It is tough.
Yeah. You know, it's so interesting that you had, you know, a second life besides being in the band, you know, your construction business. And You did heating and you did plumbing as well, design work.
Oh, yeah, we did plumbing and heating.
Right.
And construction.
Was that commercial or was that residential stuff?
No, mainly residential. We did some commercial, but mainly residential.
And
we did a ton of radiant heat.
Really?
You know, radiant driveways as well.
Huh.
So when it snows, it's just snow melt. It's all gone, you know.
That was in New Jersey, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good business up in New Jersey. It wouldn't work.
We did pretty good with it, yeah.
Wouldn't work down here in Florida.
No, it probably wouldn't work too well in Florida.
Well, what was your favorite Nectar album? I'll put you on the spot.
Let me think. You know, the thing is that they were all special
right
at the time. You know, at the time we did each album, they were all very special. I'm fond of Recycled.
Mm-hmm.
I like Remember the Future. I think is a great album.
That's a classic.
We had a lot of fun making it.
Yep.
But then again, I like Tab in the Ocean.
Yeah.
And I like them all.
Yeah.
You know, they all represented a time in our lives.
Mm-hmm.
Nectar is a family, and a very, very tight family.
Very tight,
yeah. We all look after each other, you know?
Yeah.
And I could say I like that song better than I like this song, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I think an album that we're going to bring out again, we're in the process of renegotiating our record company so we can bring out all the classic stuff again.
Right.
When we brought out Sounds Like This was a single album.
Mm-hmm.
And Sounds Like This was actually two concerts on two nights. So some years ago, we put out a double CD with both concerts.
Right.
But it didn't really get out in the market. So I want to try and put that out.
Mm-hmm.
What happened was we did Journey. That was the main one we were doing at the time. And then we did Tab.
Right.
And then we got so much material, we didn't know what to do with it. So we decided to do the live concerts in the studio and recorded Sounds Like This.
Mm-hmm.
And then we went out and we did Remember the Future.
Yeah.
So it sort of cleared up all the songs that we got, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
We had a lot of songs that were getting in the way, you might say.
You know, it would be cool if you did a video of this new tour, you know, with the new material.
We're going to do the video, the DVD, the making of.
Mm-hmm.
And then when we do Prog Talk, we're going to record that.
Good, good.
And we're gonna film that as well. And then next year, once the album's out, we're probably gonna remix the new album in 5.1 sound surround and put it on a Blu-ray with the light show, so you can sit in your theater and watch it.
Nice, very
so
nice.
So that's probably the route we're gonna go. You know.
Yeah. Yeah. We need more of the prog rock legends back, you know, because, yeah, let's face it, everybody's getting old, you know, but, you know, like you said, you got to mix it with the younger crowd, you know, you got some new, you know, younger musicians now in the band, and, you know, that's important. You have to, you know?
Yeah, no, you're right.
Yeah.
I think the album will be well received. It sounds like Nectar.
Mm-hmm.
It really does. It's Nectar through and through.
Right. Yeah, we'll definitely get you on next year when the album's released, so we can.
Yeah, that would be great. So I'd love talk you to about hear it. I'd love you to play.
Yeah, and maybe we'll play some music as well on the station. So, definitely.
Yeah, try and make it to a concert.
Okay, I sure will. I've got besides this gig, I've got another gig now. I work with it's called Paranormal Cirque. It's a paranormal circus with Circus Italia, and I book all their all the advertising. I book all the advertising for that show. So it keeps me pretty busy.
Yeah, well, that's what, you don't be sat on your backside doing nothing.
Yeah. But yeah, I'd love to come to that show for sure.
Yeah, try and do it.
I need to get out more.
Hope to see you then.
Yeah, I need to get out more. I just covered a show at the not too long ago at the House of Blues with Uriah Heep, and
we played with Uriah Heep back in the day.
Did you? Yeah, I interviewed Mick Box. Man, he looks great.
Yeah, I know Mick well. Yeah,
he looks great, doesn't he?
Yeah, I like Mick. He's a good guy.
He's a good guy. Yeah. He's a real good guy. What was the early days like when you guys... Now, you guys kind of headquartered in Hamburg, is that right?
When we first got together, we headquartered in Hamburg.
Right.
And then we had a house in Seeheim, which is just outside, just south of Frankfurt. I should have more central than Hamburg. So we had a house there in Seeheim, and... we based ourselves out of Seeheim, so you could travel, you know, central, like, hub, if you like.
Yeah. What was the attraction with Hamburg? I mean, when I think of that place, I think of the Beatles, you know, because they...
Yeah, well, you know, we played in the Star Club.
Uh-huh.
We played in the Top Ten Club as well, but we played in the Star Club, and that's when Ron met Roy,
right,
when we saw Rainbows, which was his band.
Huh.
And it was a great band. It was a very good band. And when our lead guitarist left, we immediately sent a telegram to Roy to see if he wanted to come join us.
Right.
And he did. He came over and he joined us, and we were light of money. Remember, we were just making enough money to eat.
Yeah.
So we had to play. We played our first gig, and we'd never played together before.
Hmm.
We jammed the whole night, and it went down very well, and we decided to call the band Nectar.
How structured is your music? I mean, do you guys improvise? I know
all the time.
Yeah, prog rock is a lot of improvisation, which I love. Because
everything comes from improvisation.
Right.
You jam.
Yep.
And you get, and then when you're looking for songs, you find the songs within the jam, or you find a solo that you might say, oh, that solo will go good in this song.
Right.
And then when you've got the structure of the music, then we write the words.
Gotcha.
That's the way we've always done it. Mostly, Roy used to scat sing, and then Mick and I would write the words. And in this band, Rich scat sings, and me and Mick has been writing the words, but now we've pulled Rich into it, because he's got a great mind, and we've been doing, we've been writing with Rich, which has mm-hmm. been great.
Now, are you singing more than you used to?
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah, you got a good voice. You got a great voice.
Thank you. Yeah, it's been fun.
Yeah.
We're doing a lot of harmonies. We're doing a lot of lead vocals. But I'm very happy with it.
Can you believe it's been 50 years, though?
I'm sorry?
Can you believe it's been 50 years?
No, I can't believe it's been 50 years. Jesus.
Man, yeah,
we're
the
not getting
time
any younger, that's for sure.
Yeah. See, man, I'm telling you, I got really heavily into Nectar when I was in high school, you know? And, you know, I mean, mentally, I'm still in high school, but the body tells me something different.
I get that. I get that a lot.
If you were... Yeah, go ahead.
I think... You really as old as you feel, you know.
True.
You have to let your mind do what it has to do.
Right.
When we write music, you just have to think, absorb the music, and the words will come out of it. It's really amazing.
Mm-hmm.
How the words come together is really amazing.
I think it's so cool. Yeah, I played some guitar, and I was in a band in high school, but it's so cool when you start jamming, and all of a sudden... something comes out of it, you know, and you're all of a sudden meshing and following each other's leads, you know, and adding things. Well, it's
I think most structured music comes from jamming.
Right.
But a lot of people don't realize it.
Exactly.
But it has to be, sometimes I can sit and I can hear the song in my head.
Mm-hmm.
But often it comes out of a jam. Oh, that part sounds really good.
Exactly.
That'll go with this part. Oh,
yeah.
You know, we used to play 8 to 12 hours every day.
Wow. That's a lot. That's a lot.
Yeah. We used to play a lot.
Yeah.
Now, we don't play that much with this band, but we make it count when we do play, you mm-hmm. know. We've had a lot of everybody in the band's been putting stuff in, you know.
Yeah.
So I think you're gonna like it.
You know, it's funny because, you know, I used to think progressive rock musicians were all classically trained because, you know, I said, man, nobody can, you know, be that good, you know, without having that a background like that. And, you know, it's amazing how many musicians can't read music. And I just can't figure that out, man. It just, you know, they just know how to play.
Yeah.
You know,
I started off playing classical music on
the
piano.
Yeah,
and I went to bass when I was about 16. But generally, I can hear what I want to play.
Really?
If somebody's playing something, I can hear in my head what it is I want to play, and I'm not quite as fast at pulling them tunes out as I used to be.
Uh-huh.
But I'm getting better at it. You know. At one time, when I was younger, I could just think it and play it. It went right from my thinking right to my fingers, you know?
I admire that.
Now I have to really think about it, but I'm still getting the results, so I'm happy with it.
Yeah. And you play keyboards too, right?
Yeah. I started off playing classical keyboards.
Mm-hmm.
And then the band that I was playing in, the bass player left, so it was either play bass or we didn't have a band.
Right.
So I started playing bass, and I realized, hey, you just got to look at the chords on a piano, and your bass notes are all them notes in them chords, you know?
Yeah. Did you know Chris Squire?
Yeah, I knew Chris well.
Yeah.
He got the biggest hands of anybody I've ever met. I mean, I've got big hands, and my hands seem tiny.
Yeah. He's a big guy.
Damn good bass player.
Yeah. Oh, he was incredible. Yeah, I love his solo stuff, you know, Fish Out of Water.
Yeah, he did some good music.
Yeah, good stuff.
I was sad when he went.
I know, me too.
Because he held that band together, I think.
It's not the same band, of course. It's
No.
Yeah. I hate to say this because I'm a big Yes fan, but without John Anderson now, I think they should give it up. I think it's time, you know, because.
Well, John used to do a lot of stuff with Vangelis.
Yeah, he can do stuff on his own, you know, but.
Yeah. I know he did a lot of stuff with Vangelis.
Right.
He wanted Vangelis to come to the Yes, and Vangelis didn't want to do that.
Yeah.
We used to play with Vangelis in the old days in Greece. When he that guy gets music out of a piece of string. He's unbelievable.
He's played with also Jean-Luc Ponty.
Yeah. We played with Jean-Luc we toured with Zappa in 73.
Wow.
And that was the overnight sensation band with Jean-Luc Ponty and the Underwoods,
mm-hmm.
Bruce Fowler,
mm-hmm.
On bass, and Tom Fowler, and George Duke, and of course Zappa.
Yep.
What a band, man! Yep. That was a great band to tour with.
Mm.
We played our ass off, and so did they every night. It was great.
It was almost like you were competing against each other, because you know.
No, absolutely not. I thought we complimented each other well.
Oh, did you? That's good.
It was really good. When we played in Rome, I'll tell you a little story.
Okay.
When we played in Rome, Zappa came on for the encore, and he started with Arrivederci Roma.
Right.
Really old style, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And then suddenly, right in the middle, he just. Palm went right into his Zappa style, and the crowd went nuts. It was great.
Yeah, he was.
I really enjoyed playing with them. They were good musicians. Back.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's. I don't know. That's what we're missing today in the mainstream. You know, it's. You know, we need more musicians. We don't have the guitar heroes anymore. You know, there's not too many of them anyway. There's a few, but you know.
No, I agree. I agree.
Yeah, and there's some. There's some good prog artists too, but you know they're not like you know they're not in the mainstream. You really got to dig for them, you know.
Yeah,
but there's
well,
still.
I think we've landed on with Rich. Rich is an awesome guitarist.
Uh huh.
And Kendall too. So we've really been lucky to get them too.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
And of course Randy, he plays bass and 12 string and bass keyboard and bass pedals. So I play 12 string and bass pedals, or bass and bass pedals, and I play bass. So there's two basses in the band, which is unusual.
It is.
But it sounds great with two basses. Well, if I'm playing low, he's playing high. But
really?
High, he's playing low. What a great sound with two bass players.
That's great. You know, that's very different, like you said.
Yeah, I don't know anybody. I don't know that it's not been done, but I don't know anybody.
Right. Now, was there a time when you had two keyboard players?
We had two keyboard players with Taff and Larry.
Okay.
And Larry played with us. We had two keyboard players.
Yeah.
We did. We toured with Larry.
Mm-hmm.
After DFS, we did two gigs in the States. One in New York at the Town Hall. he was well received. It was good to get out and play.
Yeah.
But I needed to get back to work, so I handed it over to them to play. You know.
Yeah. What kind of tour do you think this is going to be? Are you gonna reach the States also? I guess you are, since you're based here.
We're definitely gonna play in the States.
Good. But
I would say the bulk of our gigs will be around the States.
Good, good.
Probably South America, maybe Japan, possibly, and Europe.
Right.
That's the plan right now, is to bounce between the States and Europe. Most of the first concerts, I think, will be in the States.
Okay.
We'll probably start on the East Coast and work our way over.
Yeah. Don't forget the South. A lot of people do.
I don't mind. I don't know how big we are down there.
Right.
You're in Florida, right?
Yeah, I'm in Florida. Right. I'm near Tampa.
I don't know. Yeah. I would love Tampa. I go to Tampa. I go to the Yankees games in spring training.
Oh yeah, yeah.
In Tampa, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a cool town, you know. It's I think you'd be very good here.
I would love to play down there.
Yeah.
I have a lot of friends in Florida, so that would be a bonus.
Definitely, yeah. I've got oh my goodness, I'm losing. Well, I got Rick Derringer, who lives pretty close to me here.
Oh really?
Yeah, and also I'm my mind is slipping today. AC/DC, the lead singer.
He's down there?
Yeah, I'm actually in Sarasota, and I'm like half an hour.
I was in Sarasota.
Yeah.
I came down to Sarasota for a game between the Yankees and the Orioles.
Yeah.
Here in Sarasota, right?
About 10 minutes from my house.
Yeah, I was there.
Yeah. Right. That was at Ed Smith Stadium.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you like baseball,
I tried
huh?
I try to spend a week or 2 weeks down in Florida for spring training.
Right. So who's your, your team's the Yankees, huh?
Oh, yeah. Sure.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Well, we got a pretty good team here in Tampa Bay.
Yeah, actually, you know something? Tampa is doing really well.
Excellent, yeah. They've been having...
they always manage to do it with I want to say cheap players, but I don't mean that. They seem to do it without spending a lot of money, let me put it that way.
It's amazing, isn't it?
It's amazing, yeah. Amazing. And then everybody takes them off, takes the farm, and off they go. You know, I think they're an underrated team. Mm-hmm. I don't think that they have as big a following down there.
It's horrible.
You know, considering how big the team is everywhere else, I don't know. Maybe they should move and go to another state, you know?
Well, they're thinking about moving half with Montreal. Half the season in Montreal.
Why not?
Yeah, why not?
Spend half the year up there and half the year down in Tampa.
That's what they're going to do, I think.
Yeah.
It's a shame because I don't know if you've been to the stadium. It's the Tropicana Field.
Yeah, absolutely.
I like it. It's comfortable. You know, it's air conditioned. They got beers from all over the world, and I don't get it, because you know the fan base here loves hockey. All the hockey games are sold out, and like you said, spring training's always sold out. You know.
Yeah. Right.
I don't get it.
I don't get it either. But whatever it is.
Exactly.
What you can do about it, man?
Nothing, man. I was thinking about Brian Johnson. He's here in Sarasota also.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I just found you. They're gonna tour again.
Really?
Yep. They're back.
Wow. I guess we all are.
Yeah, you're all back. Good.
Yeah. I was talking to Annie Haslam a few days ago.
She's a friend of mine.
She's been a friend of mine for 35, 40 years.
Mention me next time you talk to her.
I will.
I love Annie. She's awesome.
Yeah, she's a great person. I like her.
Yes, she is. Well, what were you going to say about her? You were going to say something about her?
No.
Oh, okay.
I talked to her a couple of days ago. She was excited that we came back for her 50th anniversary.
Yep.
I've been to see her a few times.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, Rich, who plays with us now,
right,
played with Annie for like 3 years.
Huh. Good band. Renaissance is another band that, another great live show. And Annie.
Yeah, there's some good people out there.
There is. And she's got her art. I mean, she's a really good artist.
Yes, she is. Yep. She is, yeah.
Well, I try to get as many prog guys on this show as possible. I've had, I've had Martin Barr from, I've interviewed Ian a couple times, but I've had, let's see, I'm trying to think now. I had, it's been a long day. But I had everybody from the Heat, you know, Ken Hensley, and I had, Carl Palmer was on the show, and, but I had, as far as prog guys, I had Derek Shulman from Gentle Giant, another band.
Oh, yeah, right.
Another band that probably did a lot of improvisation, of course. Great band, though. I always did like them and you guys. And also, gosh, I was going to mention these guys. Oh, Dave Cousins from the Straubs, because they just celebrated 50 years as well. And I,
yes, they did.
They
In
did.
Fact, Larry played with them, and so did Annie.
That's right. They did that anniversary concert in New Jersey, I think, wasn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
In New Jersey. Yeah. That's right. Do you know Dave?
I'm sorry?
Do you know Dave Cousins?
Yeah, yeah. I know all those guys.
Yeah. You know every. I'm sure you. It, the Prague is like a family, isn't it? All the bands kind of.
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
Yes, it is.
That's pretty cool. I'm glad you guys. You know, I always give. I tip my hat to the Brits for Prague rock. I mean, that's their baby. You know what I mean? Because, you know, every time I talk to a legendary Brit guy, he says, yeah, but America started it, you know, with the blues and the old guys, you know, and Robert Johnson. I said, look, you got to give yourselves credit for progressive rock. That's all you guys, you know, which it is. It's in your blood. I mean, it's like from the days of, you know, you always think of, you know, the days of King and Queens, and I always think of Game of Thrones and that kind of atmosphere, but you know, it's in your blood to do prog rock. It's, you know, that it's that classical Renaissance type periods of music mixed in with rock and you know, orchestra music, and you know, it's incredible. It's, you guys are all about that. It's, you know, you invented it.
Yeah, I guess we did.
but you guys don't give yourselves enough credit for it.
Yeah.
You know?
We just play our own music and hope people like it.
Yeah. That's true. But you guys have a great band. You've been around a long time. Here's a question I ask everybody, Derek, and I get some very interesting answers, as a matter of fact. If you had a Field of Dreams wish, you know, like the movie, to perform or collaborate with anyone from the past or present, I mean, you know, this could be 100 years ago, who would you pick?
Hendrix.
Hendrix, really?
Yeah, we knew Jimmy well. He was a great guy. I would love to have, put some music with him. I'd love to have done that.
You know, I think he would have probably got into that improvisation kind of prog.
It was very much into improvising.
Yep.
He and I got on really well. Beautiful person.
Right.
Beautiful.
Did you guys jam together?
No.
No, huh?
No, but we spent a lot of time together, but we never actually got down to jam.
Huh. Well, now, where did...
I think Roy jammed with him at some point.
Right.
But we just used to hang out.
Where'd you guys hang out at? In England? In London?
In Hamburg.
Right.
Or in Frankfurt.
Yeah.
Hamburg speakeasy, we used to hang out there or wherever, you know. When it was in town, we'd get together.
Right. I asked Jack Bruce, another lovely guy, you know. I asked him, I says, who's the better guitar player, Eric Clapton or Hendrix? And you know, he can't say Hendrix because of his loyalty to, to Eric Clapton. So he did say Clapton.
I think that Hendrix was one of the best guitarists ever.
I think so too. I agree.
I don't think there's anybody even close. Even Clapton and Townsend don't think there's anybody close.
Right.
I mean, he did things with a guitar that nobody had done before. Now everybody's bending strings and this and doing that, but nobody did it before Hendrix.
Yep. He was a pioneer.
Yeah, he surely was. He's very special. He's a very special person. He wasn't a star in his own mind.
Right.
He was a humble person.
Mm-hmm.
Who was just a phenomenal guitarist.
You know, it's funny, every time you see a picture of him, you know, even, you know, that, at home or what, he always has a guitar in his hand, you know?
Yeah. Oh, he loved to play, that's for sure.
I asked Robin Trower the same question, and he said James Brown. I said, what about Hendrix? He said, I'd be too embarrassed to play with Jimi Hendrix.
Yeah.
I think it's funny. You know what I love? I love it when... these legendary rock stars, like yourself, get very nervous around their heroes, you know? I think it's so funny, you know? And, like, John Anderson, I met George Harrison, and he freaked out, you know? He was so scared to meet George Harrison. I said, John, you're, you know, lead singer from Yes. Why are you so nervous? He's a Beatle, you know? I love that.
I don't really see that. I think we have a different job.
Yeah.
You know, I feel very comfortable with whether it be a big star or whether it would be an ordinary person.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we jack with Vangelis all the time when we're in Greece.
Yeah.
We never thought about, oh, wow, this is Vangelis.
Yeah, exactly.
He was just a friend of ours, you know.
Right.
And I think the same. We know John really well.
Mm-hmm.
We know his band, the man band, and we name any band from that era who were friends.
Yeah.
You know, I think under the band, normally, there's not that star of it.
Right.
Because we're all... we have respect for each other, you know?
Yeah. Well, you guys all came out at the same time, too. You know, there's so many...
Yeah.
There's a lot of 50 anniversaries happening now, you know?
A lot, yeah. There's a lot.
Yeah.
A lot of old geezers on the road.
Yeah.
I call it the geriatric tour.
The geriatric tour, right. You know what? I don't mind, you know? As long as you can still play your instrument, that's the main thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, I will make a comment here I'm going to regret saying, okay? I'm a big Jethro Tull fan. You know, I've interviewed Ian a couple of times. He was the only guy that I was probably nervous to interview. I've done maybe 2,000 interviews. But you know why? Because he's a very intelligent guy, you know? And I didn't want to sound dumb. So, you know, we went off topic. We talked politics. We talked religion. We talked all kinds of stuff. And he's a great interview. But... I think it's time for him to retire his voice. I don't know if you've heard him lately, but...
No, I've not.
It's gone completely. And, you know, I think he should bring a young guy in that can do the same job, but he's still on stage, you know, playing guitar and playing flute and everything. I'd be okay with that, you know?
I mean, you talk about Robin Trower. I'm on the... Bill Lord's fan page, you know, Bill was a drummer from Robin.
Yeah, so am I.
He's got a great fan page. All kinds of stuff comes out.
Yep.
It's very interactive. I like it. I like that.
Yeah, he's got all kinds of... Yeah, me too. He's a Facebook friend of mine. I keep asking him to be on the show, and he's, you know, I don't know if he's kind of reluctant for some reason. I said...
Well, Diana, his wife,
right,
she used to hang with us in Germany, in Darmstadt.
Really?
In the beginning, yeah, yeah.
Huh.
She's great.
Yeah. You know who was cool too was I interviewed all the Moody Blues, Ray Thomas and his wife.
Oh yeah,
she's cool too.
Yeah, we know some of them guys. We don't know them all, but we know some of them. They were a good band.
Very good band. Excellent band. Yep. Well, you have anything else you want to talk about? Did I miss anything?
If you have no other questions.
What I'm going to do, I've got like 4 music sites that are very, very, very popular. So I'll definitely put up the link to the, it's.
Why don't you send me the link to the sites and I'll join you?
Okay. That'll be great. That'll
be awesome, man.
This will air on, July 30th. That's when this is going to air. And then I'll send you all the links after it's, after we put it
that'll
out there.
Sure.
Okay. And we'll mention all the
really
websites.
I really appreciate the interview.
Oh, man, I enjoy this. This is great. You know, you guys are one of my favorite bands of all time, and it just brings back high school all over again.
Yeah, that's always cool, right?
Yeah. So we're looking forward to a happy anniversary. We hope to see you on tour. I guess this is going to probably be after the album's released next year sometime. When you tour?
Yeah, we might do a couple of gigs before. We're going to do Progstock.
Right.
And we might do a couple of warm-ups under a different name, you know?
Oh, okay.
Or we may just rent a studio and go in there.
Right.
I haven't decided yet.
And, we look forward to both of those. That's it's good to see you guys back again.
Hey, thank you. I really appreciate that, man.
Me too, Derek.
It's going to be a good one.
I think so. I think you're right. I think, you know, and I'll definitely review the album when it comes out, and we'll promote the hell out of it.
That would be great.
Yeah,
I
man.
I appreciate that.
One last question. Do you have grandkids?
Oh, yeah.
How many?
One right now. He's 26.
20, is he local?
No, he's local. Germany.
Oh, he's in Germany. Okay.
My son and my daughter-in-law are in Germany.
Really? It's funny. My nephew's in Germany as well. I mean, he loves it.
Oh wow!
Yeah, he loves it.
Yeah,
there.
Yeah.
It's probably one of the most popular places in Europe right now, I think.
Yeah, I like Germany.
Yeah.
I lived there for 11 years, so.
Yep.
I can read and write German, so that's handy.
Really? How about that?
Yeah.
Huh. All right, sir. Well, thanks again for the interview, and we're looking forward to some great things from Nectar.
Thank you. We do, too. Thanks, man.
Thanks, Derek. Take care, man.
Bye.
All right. Bye-bye. For more information about Derek Mo Moore and Nectar, visit their official website is nectarsmusic.com, or they are on facebook.com/nectarrocks. Also, there's a fan page, facebook.com/groups/nectarfans. They're also on instagram.com/nectar.official, and also on Twitter at twitter.com/nectarthe. Very special thanks to the great Billy James of Glass Onion PR for arranging this interview with Derek Moore, and of course, the dynamic new duo of Doug and Don Newsom of BBS Radio for making the magic happen each and every broadcast of Interviewing the Legends. If you have comments or suggestions for the show, contact me at interviewingthelegends@gmail.com, and please, please, please subscribe to my YouTube channel. You'll get the latest interviews right in your email. Interviewing the Legends with Ray Shasho for the very latest interviews, and let me tell you, it is real news, people. Don't forget to purchase a copy of my book entitled Check the G's, the true story of an eclectic American family and their wacky family business, available now at Amazon.com. I promise you will live it. Have a great week, everybody.
Thank you, everybody, for listening to Interviewing the Legends. Brought to you by the Publicity Works Agency. Call 941-877-1552 or visit us at publicityworksagency.com. Specializing in author and music artist publicity plans. We shine when we make you shine. Tune in to Interviewing the Legends every Tuesday at 7 p.m. Pacific Time on PBS Radio, Station 1.